Woo, good goal today, amen. I like what a preacher said one time. He said, Brother Jack, I love to hear you preach. You preach the same old sermons, you just yell in different places. Amen. Open your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I had to tell the pastor I couldn't go out and eat with him today. I gotta take my little hot dog for a babysitting job. And we gotta visit that Chinese restaurant somewhere this week, brother. I think we gotta go soul winning back there. I went to a camp a couple of years ago. Ever been to camp? They had the nastiest food you ever had in your life. Come on, I know you're spiritual out there. God bless you. Amen. I tell what you think. One guy said, Jack, you're ADD. I said, yeah, I'm ADD, LTD, and BLT. Amen. God bless you. I went to a camp one time, Brother Snelling, and the food was nasty. I mean, my dog wouldn't even eat it, and they wouldn't me eat it. And so I told a bunch of preachers, hey, man, let's go soul winning at McDonald's. And now, look, I gave up McDonald's since then for Chick-fil-A, amen? And we're going to have the Chick-fil-A at the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, amen, with some good old hot sauce and sweet tea, no calories, amen, in the Bible somewhere. And I went out that night. There was about 20 girls. Hey, Brother Jack, can you bring me a double cheeseburger while you go soul winning? You know, they caught on to me. These girls were smart. They use your head. A woodpecker does. And I said, okay. And all of a sudden, the boys said, hey, man, you better bring me something back. I'm telling. I said, you sucker. I ended up spending $100 that night getting double cheeseburgers. And here's all these kids. They're all supposed to be sleeping. We got back about 1 o'clock, me and about 7 preachers. And here they are, Brother Jack's here with the double cheeseburgers. Everybody. All lights came on everywhere, man. I'm just throwing double cheeseburgers all over the place. Hey, you bunch of reprobates, go to bed. That was years ago. And a meeting just a couple years ago, one little, I guess, lady about, maybe she must be about 30, 35 now. She said, Brother Jack, I never forget the night you gave me that double cheeseburger. We were starving to death, and you came through for us, amen. And so I did, hey, I got you one, but I ate five of them, amen. God bless you. I thought about you. Well, amen, good to be here on Sunday morning and to speak to you tonight. And I was going to bring my RV, and the preacher and I were talking about some things, and some things broke down on it, no hot water and all this other stuff. And so I'm not a mechanic, so I just said, oh, God, give me some mechanics. And Lord sends them my way. And know your weaknesses, know your strengths, but you better know your weaknesses. And that's one of my weaknesses. And we showed up down at the meeting where it was at, and wanted to bring the RV back up here. Then we got to run back down to Florida next week. And then I went to the meeting that night. I walked in and told the pastors, I said, hey, you got a mechanic in the church that can fix my hot water leak? I'll pay him whatever he needs. He said, no, but there's an RV dealer sitting right back there. I said, where's he at? Bing! I went right back there and talked to him. And they had came in a meeting that night. And he's out of Florida. And he runs an RV dealership. And he's 25 miles from the meeting we're going to be at next week. He looked at me and he said, can you bring your RV down to Florida? I said, yeah. He said, you bring it down to Florida, we'll fix it. He looked at me and said, it's already been paid for. I said, my goodness, there is a God. Amen. And, you know, you preach that stuff, then it really happens. Ding! It really is real. I'm just being funny with you. And I said, well, since you're out here by the RV, let me show you a few more things I got to get fixed, too. Amen. I showed him this, and I showed him this. He showed him this. He said, hey, I'll fix all that in 2 days. Bring it on down there. I said, it'll be there. The Batmobile will be boom, 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 boom. It'll be down there next week. Amen. So, hey, that's how the Lord works. But what I did, I lost my RV, so I didn't get my little dog Buster. I like my dog, and I don't like cats. Do I get any cat lovers in here? And you're ashamed of it. Amen. God bless you. See your hand right there. All dogs go to heaven. You know that, don't you? You know where cats are going. Over here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And so I don't get to go out with lunch with Pastor today, so I got to take Buster up to the babysitter. And he's let me real fast before I preach to you. How far is Eaton, Ohio on a good day? Some of you get Eaton, Ohio. I got to go to Eaton. Hour and a half? Where's that cop at? All right. I'll make it an hour. Hey, I'm going to leave my wife here. You ain't taking me. I know you're going to be speeding. I'll get up here and go for it. I got pulled over one time by a police officer, and he said, he walked up to me. He said, you know how fast you're speeding? I said, no, tell me. Like I'm going to admit to you or something, you know. And so I said, look, man, I'm a Christian. I'm a Chicago Bear fan and a Christian. He said, well, I'm truly above. Get out of here. Amen. I didn't work the other night on the other one I got. It didn't work on him. He said, well, you're getting a ticket. That's what you're getting. I tell you what I did. I didn't know you're supposed to pull over when he's in the car, and this is something spiritual. And I'm going on the road, and I'm doing about 35, and heard about the lady old grandma got pulled over, And the police driver told the grandma, said, you know how you were doing 85 miles an hour? She said, sir, that was what the sign said. It was Highway 85. He said, no, ma'am. He said, that's Highway 85. That's not the speed limit. She said, I'm glad you didn't catch me on Highway 120. Amen. So this police officer began talking to me, and he said, I don't care if you're a preacher or not. He said, I'm giving you a ticket. I said the wrong thing. I said, how long have you been on the force? Oh, man. Oh, I saw the dollar sign. Jing, 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 jing. That bird gave me a $127 ticket. All because I didn't get over far enough. When he was in the car, as the law out in Iowa was over, I paid it grudgingly and righteously and everything else. And may he have a flat tire in Jesus' name. Amen. But I got his card. I always look for Christian police officers because I go to court so much with young people. And we went to court. I went to jail. See a young man going to prison for 40 years for dealing crack cocaine to kids. And he ought to go to prison. But my goodness, murderers and rapists don't even get that. And then they worked a day out with him, 2.5 years in prison and 8 years house arrest. And they're going to take the deal. So that's what we do. But now it's time to preach, not to talk about my work, but talk about him. Second Chronicles chapter 20, we're going to be going through the chapter a little bit. I'm a very much an expository preacher. I'm not into alliterations and words and rhyme and reasons. I just use the Bible. And I wish I could do that. That's just not my style. That's not my gift. But I just preach the Bible, and I hope I can be a blessing to you this morning. And I'm going to talk to you about making the right decisions this morning. How many of you got to make some decisions this week? We all do. I got tons of them. Fix my RV. We got to go to Canada this week, and we didn't bring any winter clothes. And I talked to a preacher today. I said, how cold is it? He said, 6 degrees above zero. He said, now when you get up here next week, it'll be 25 below zero. I said, I'm sending Karen shopping. I'm staying inside, bless God. And no, Buster's going to stay here. He'll be a frozen hot dog up there, amen. We'll back him off in brittle, amen, and so forth. But pray for us. Look over at 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. And it came to pass, aren't you glad I didn't come to stay? All those heartaches and all those decisions you've had in your life, and sometimes the test of life's got to come. Amen. You remember out in the world, I don't know if you remember this, but I'd be out in the world, and I said, man, I just can't wait till another day had passed. And boy, if I get out of this one, I'll never do this again. Remember that one? I'd do it 3 days later again. You know, get right back in the same old hog pen again, you know. But, and it came to pass, after this, that the children of Ammon, I like it, pulpit, it's wide enough. Man, I like it. I'm going to take it with me. And it came to pass that after the children of Ammon, and the children of Ammon with also the other side of Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against them from beyond the sea of the side of Assyria. And behold, they be in Hazeron, wherever that name is, which is by En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all the land. Father, thank you for the word of God. Help me be a blessing to you folks this morning. Thank you for Northern Kentucky Baptist Church. May it always be a lighthouse, a good water hole for sinners, a good cold drink of water for saints. Bless this day, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. What's taking place here is a nation is coming up against the nation of Israel. And Jehoshaphat did the right thing. He feared and made a fast and proclaimed to God. I wish our president would do that. And so, now, look, I can't tell you who to vote for, but I hope you'll vote for the Republican of your choice. And so forth. I just want a president to come in here and fear God of the Christian faith. I'd like to see a president come in here and take care of Israel and don't throw Israel under the bus. I don't care who it is, but give me a president like so. I like what Ronald Reagan did. He said, they said, I trust you, but I'm going to verify it. But here's a nation coming against Israel. And by the way, it started in Jerusalem. It's going to end in Jerusalem. You better find out all you can about the nation of Israel because you're going to live there for 1,000 years one day. You're going to go back there. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 65 and Isaiah 11 that when the Lord comes back in Israel and he rules and reigns there, you still have a free choice in the millennium to go back there and worship him. And he said, those that don't get no rain. You want showers and blessings in your life? Get to Jerusalem. That's going to take place in the millennium. Not now. That's coming. The next timetable on the Christian life is called the judgment seat of Christ. You think after we got saved, we're going to give our judgment seat of Christ. And while we're up there at the judgment seat of Christ, what's taking place on earth? It's called the Great Tribulation. That's for 7 years. At the end of that tribulation, the Lord's going to have another battle called the Battle of Armageddon. And after that battle, we're going to have another battle called the Battle of Gog and Magog. So what I'm trying to tell you, don't let them scare you with the nuke field. Oh, we're all going to get nuked up. No, no, no. Jesus Christ is going to come here and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. We ain't going nowhere. Hey, that's what they like to do. They like to put the fear factor inside your mind. That's what's taking place in this king right here. He said the whole nation has come against you, and Jehoshaphat did the right thing. He feared. That's the right kind of fear. Hey, you need to get the fear of God back in your home. Get the fear of God back in your Christian life. Get the fear of God back in your mind and back in your thoughts. Get the fear of God back in your kids' life, and let them see you fearing God. And I tell you what, to help young folk, mom and dad and grandma and grandpa fearing God, reading the Bible, submitting themselves, get on their face and talking to God. That'll liven up inside of a home, inside of a Christian life. And Jehoshaphat feared God and feared God. And then he come over there and he gave God a history lesson. Come over to verse number nine. He said, if evil cometh upon us, of the sword, of judgment, of pestilence, of famine, we stand before the house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and crying unto thee in our affliction, then without help and hear. Now look at verse 10. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they returned from them and destroyed them not. Verse 11. Behold, I say how they reward us. And they come to cast us of thy possession. They want that land over there. They want all the minerals in the Dead Sea. That's what they want. Which thou hast given us to inherit. That belongs to Israel. That belongs to them Jews. Let me show you something. When the Lord comes back, you know how far that Israel's land is going to expand? Right now, Israel is only 30 miles wide, 70 miles long. That's about as big as New Jersey. When he comes back, I mean, it's going to be all his. They're getting all the way back the Nile River, due west. And they're getting all the way back east to the Euphrates. They're getting about 500 miles wide and about 400 miles long. That's going to be their land again that God gave to Abraham. But that isn't the message. I just thought I'd throw it in you, let you know I'm smart. Amen. Someone says, how many books do you read a week? I read 5 books a week. They're chick track, but they're 5 books. How many know what a chick track is? Amen. Only has about 7 pages. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Look at verse number. Here's my message. Here's the thought I want to give to you. Verse number 12. O our God, here we are now in our Christian life. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Have you ever been there? You ever been there? Have you ever been there? Neither know we what to do. I'm going to preach you on that line right there, on the thought right here. What to do when you don't know what to do. What to do when you don't know what to do. I get a call from my mom and dad. I'll back up and say this to you. I went to a church one day, and I like to meet young folks. I'd like to know your names and pray for you, get to see you, and tell my wife about it by myself. I met this young person, met this person, I met this old person, met this young person, and I could tell stories about what you told me like I tell you. And what I'm telling you for this morning is just my success and failures for 42 years. And I looked for a girl around the church there, and I said, where's Heidi at? And the mother looked at me, and she said, well, Heidi's gone. Heidi's taken off. I said, Heidi is only 18 years old. What happened to Heidi? She said, Brother Jack, but Heidi broke her heart. Heidi took off and broke her heart and out in the world and messed her life up and so forth. I said, why didn't you call me? She said, we didn't think of calling you. So I'd have went there and visited her. And got a hold of Heidi and I called her and this dear old mother says, Brother Jack, I just don't know what to do. That's my baby girl. I said, won't you fight for her? Well, my husband said, just let her go. No, don't let her go. Fight for her. Pray for her. Fight for her. I said, where is she? She said, well, she's a go-go dancer. I said, I know what that means. I said, where's it at? Give me the phone number. Now, how many think I called her? Let me see your hand. I did, sure I called her. I all had a, you know, go-go joint, girls up there dancing nude in front of the men and so forth. I called her on the phone. And I said, what's your stage name? Sugar or Sweetie or Sugar and Spice or something? I don't know what her name was. And I said, I want to speak to Heidi. Well, we don't have her. I said, I don't know where her name was. I said, she got on the phone. She said, hey, I said, hey, Heidi, what's up? This is Brother Jack. Brother Jack, what are you doing calling me here? I said, I want to see you. She said, you can't come down here. I said, I'm coming down with a bullhorn if you don't come out there. Hardy, would you please come out? This is Preacher Jack. I want to see you right now. She said, you are crazy. I said, either you see me or I'm going to come down and see you. She said, okay. I'll come to my mom and dad's house tomorrow at 3 o'clock. All right, you better be there. I'm going to come look for you. Sure enough, by the way, I met her in the daytime with her mom and dad. Hello. Last time I saw her, Pastor, she was 18 years old. Now she's about 21 years old. And when I saw her walk through that door that day, she looked like she's 35. Sin had already set in. Sin already set in and putting Rome back. Hey, young folk, sin will take you farther than you want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll take you deeper than you ever thought about going. That's what sin will do to you. Oh, let me tell you something. Your best friend sitting in that blue shirt right there, that's your daddy. Always respect your daddy. Amen. Bless God. I talked to my mother one time. She put me through three walls of sheetrock. Boom, 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 boom. I'll call the welfare. The welfare come to my house, they disappear. Amen. I tell you, they put them on a mail carton. Amen. Crazy, 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 crazy. Hey, this country's going crazy. Abuse. Everybody, I hear the word abuse one more time, I'm going to vomit. I've been abused. We all been abused. My baby sister stabbed me with a can over a bowl of soggy Cheerios for Quick Draw McGraw. She wanted to watch something else. I want to watch Bubba Louie and Quick Draw McGraw. And she said, you ain't watching that. I want that milk. And she took a can over and stabbed me with it. I was 6 years old and she was five. But you know, I didn't go through life. My sister abused me. She cut my hand open with a can opener. Oh, I got her back. Oh, is she ugly? Ooh. Man, I told her, I said, Mary, you got buck teeth so bad when you get married, your husband say, give me a kiss. My tonsils itch. She's up in heaven now. I preached her funeral, bless God. Amen. Hey, I got there and got to see an old Heidi right there. And I got talking to her, mom and dad. Hey, you what boils down to? I said, Heidi, what's your problem? Hey, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Hey, go to the problem and attack the problem, not the person. I said, Heidi, what's your problem? Well, she told me. She said, I got so mad, and are we doing all right this morning? I'm trying to tell you what to do when you don't know what to do. I'm gonna give you four things to do, and we're going to go to the house and eat something to eat. Then come back tonight, eat again, and come back to church. And we'll eat again. Bless God, you get to hear me preach, you get hungry. Amen. I got talking to a kid the other day. Brother Jack, he said, you were big. I know. I said, I stepped on the scale and said, one at a time, please. I heard a kid say the other day, he was so fat when he went to school, he sat next to everybody. I got talking to Heidi. I said, Heidi, what's your problem? This is what she told me. She said, Brother Jack, I never could reach my father's approval. I never could get my daddy's approval, so I went and got my approval from somebody else. Went out there in that work. Girls, let me tell you something. Hey, your best friend is your mom and daddy. Your best friend is your pastor and his dear wife and your youth director and your Sunday school teacher. Even that cop back there loves you. Amen. With a notepad in his hand. Amen. God bless you. And hey, love you. I got this card. I get pulled over. Hey, I know this cop right here. He said, let me go in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Give my wife a ticket, but not me. Amen. And I got talking to Heidi. Heidi got her life all messed up. And she said, I said, Heidi, what's your problem? She said, I can never get my dad's approval in my life. And I think she could have, but that was her problem. And Heidi went out there in that world and went out in that scene, and I spent two hours, probably 3 hours, had to preach her again at 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock that day. I talked to her for about 2 hours, and I pled with her, 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 and she said, okay, I'll stop working there. I left out of there. 2 weeks later, they got a hold of her, and she said, Brother Jack, I'm glad I quit that place because two of the girls that I was working with disappeared. Bankers got a hold of them. I got a girl right now. There's a gang up in North Carolina, and they're trying to get this little girl. She said, if you disappear, now we're going to go after your parents. If you run, we'll get your parents. That's it. A good old land of free and the home of the brave. And all I tried to do was console that mother that day. How to help her. What to do when you don't know what to do. Long story short, I got a hold of Heidi and got her straightened out, shipped her to a home. Got married, got about 4 or 5 kids right now, got life straightened out. That's been over 20 years ago. Brother Jack, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Maybe I don't know. I got a call from one day, from a dear friend of mine. Said, Brother Jack, I wanted to go in the ministry. My wife won't go in the ministry. And she left me. I said, hey, it ain't over. As long as you're breathing, you're still reachable. This guy's whole life is all messed up. Wife left him. Got divorced. I hate divorce. It happens, though. But you ain't a second-class citizen when that happens. You're beating yourself up. This man remarried. He got back on dope. See, when you don't fix that inside, it'll keep wanting you to feed it with something else and something else and something else and something else. That's where your addiction comes from. You got to learn to cut them off. Someone asked Brother Olof one time, said, do you give your people medication? He said, oh, yes, I give them the gospel. Amen. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, Brother Jack, I came out one day and I couldn't get off of dope. I got my wife on dope. She got off the hook so bad that she couldn't stand to do dope in front of her kids. I come out one day and she's hanging from the rafters of a log cabin. She hung herself. I fell on my knees and next thing I woke up in an insane asylum in Millersville, Georgia. My kids were with my mother. He said, I was inside that insane asylum, and words came back to me from Brother Olof. He said, if you ever get in trouble and you need a preacher, I'll give you two preachers to call. They'll help you. If I'm dead and gone, you call one of these two preachers. The first one was Jack Hines in Hammond, Indiana. And the next one was Dr. Lee Robinson, Chattanooga, Tennessee. You just have to know Dr. Robinson. Had a secretary, but he had an open door policy. You can walk on in. I like that. I don't like so many preachers that are like corporations. You've got to have 50 appointments to get to see him. Hello. Amen. Hey, Jesus. Hey, I'm glad Jesus. Oh, see my secretary. I'll see my secretary. I know you got to have it, but good night. I need 20 of them. No. Yes, maybe. He'll be. Where is it? I've got to get hold of it. He's in the mental ward. He said, Dr. Robinson, this is Teddy. He said, Dr. Robinson, my life's all messed up. It's all messed up. It's all messed up. It's all in shambles. He said, preacher, my life is all messed up. Can you help me? I'm in the mental ward. He said, young man, tell me about yourself. Tell me about yourself. And he said, I used to be a preacher. And he said, used to be what? He said, I used to be. Who mean you used to be? You still are. And he said, I'm a preacher boy at Lester Roloff, and my life's all messed up. I got on dope and got my life all messed up. My wife hung herself, and I'm in the mental ward, and I can't get out. He said, I want to get you out of there. And when you get out of there, you come see me in my office. You understand me? And he prayed with him, and then the phone hung up. About a month later, this young man knocks on the door of Dr. Lee Robinson. Knocks on his door. He said, Mr. Robinson, Brother Robinson, I'm Teddy Holcomb. I'm that young man that called you from the mental ward. By the way, he's 48 years old now. Preached revival meetings all over Georgia. He spent two terms in Reedsville State Penitentiary. I had him at the lighthouse. When I had him at the lighthouse, he read his Bible once a month, 80 pages a day. Soaking in the book. Ah, revival fire start burning inside that heart. Yeah, God ain't let that word come on back home. Hey, preacher, revival fire start coming in. The book start coming back to him. You got to preach again, boy. You got to preach again. You got to help somebody. Dr. Robinson got talking to him. He said, yeah, young man, I want you to come back to Bible school. I want you to finish here at Chattanooga, Tennessee. This is about 1980, but it's about 1990. Not 1988, 1990. And Teddy called me. He said, Brother Jack, I'm 60. He's about 5 years older than I am. He said, Brother Jack, guess what? He said, Dr. Robinson wants me to go to Bible college. And all the stuff I've been through, he's going to take me back. Woo-hoo-hoo! That's just like my God. Hey, thank God. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I don't care what you've been. I don't care what your past. Whatever your past might have been, your future is still spotless. Oh, Teddy got out of there. He graduated. I went to his graduation. Got to see him graduate there. Got to meet all the folks there at Tennessee Temple University back when it was still there in the heyday somewhat. And I got to see there. You know what Teddy Holcomb doing today? Teddy Holcomb runs a trucking firm in Atlanta, Georgia. But you know what he does on the weekend? He goes in small jails all over Atlanta, Georgia, all over Dalton, Georgia, and preaches the gospel. He's almost 70 years old right now. I'm telling you what to do when you don't know what to do. Look back at the verse quickly. What do you do, preacher, when you don't know what to do? Look at the last part of that verse 12. It says, but our eyes are upon thee. Woo! Oh, let me ask you a question this morning, church. Where's your eyes at today? I'm going to watch that debate tomorrow night, but that's not where my eyes are going to be. My eyes are due north. I know, I just want to get through this whole life. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'm not going to be some gloomy preacher. I'm going to go out there and join it. I'm still going to drink Starbucks coffee. One guy said, I don't like Starbucks coffee. I like Starbucks coffee. Amen. It's in there. I'll leave a gospel track in the bathroom and all over the place. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to preach the Bible. I'm going to preach revival meetings. I'm going to try to get folks saved. I'm going to try to get some young folks stirred up. And I'm going to say, hey, our country's kind of bleak right now. Our nation's going crazy. But I got to keep my eyes off my situation. I got to keep turning your eyes upon Him this morning. I don't know what your heartache. I don't know what your beat's at. I don't know what your heart's going, but I'm saying I got to keep my eyes on Him. And I have got my eyes off Him. And I put my eyes on my situations. Then I get depressed. Then I get mad. Then I get angry. Do I get a witness here this morning? Oh, you don't ever get that way, do you? No, not you. You're a good Christian. No. You got it all figured out. I'm telling you, this old preacher got some turmoil in front of my hand, and I've been to the morgue 32 times. What about when your own brother takes his old life and they send him to a men's home to get right? Then he kills himself in Hammond, Indiana. What do you think the devil did about an hour later when Brother George called me? He said, Brother Jack, your own brother just took his life. And I sent him up there to get help. The old devil sat on my shoulders. Oh, so you're going to start men's homes around the country, huh? So you're going to help other people get their life straightened out, huh? But you can't even help your own brother. That man, one day, I had to pull the car over. I had to pull me a Tom Malone. Tom Malone said he was driving down the road one day, the old preacher. He said all of a sudden the devil sat on his shoulder. Hey, Tom, you're getting old. All your friends are dying. Your health insurance is just about gone. Your body's aching. And you're broke. That's how much God took care of you. Brother Tom said he just hit the brake. He got out of the car, opened the car door, and told the devil, get out of my car, devil. You ain't driving me. I'm not going to listen to you. I had to do that one day. I had to stop my car, and I literally pulled the time alone. I want to see if it worked. And it did work, preacher. I opened that car door. I said, devil, get on out of here. Hey, that's the will of God. My brother did what he wanted to do, but he's in heaven. He got saved. He's in glory. He's going to get a tail whip when he gets home. I'm going to keep on helping people. I'm going to keep my eyes upon him. Where's your eyes at this morning? Where's your eyes? Get your eyes off your circumstances. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes on Him. Get your eyes on Him. Get your eyes on Him. I don't mind my RV being broke down if it's just me. I'll get through it. A man can sleep under a viaduct with a sleeping bag. With a 357. And an Uzi. But don't ask a woman to do that. Something breaks down, my wife got a list this long. And then she get this RV fixed now. I'm on the phone. She looked, get the RV fixed? Did you get the RV fixed? Did you empty the tank? Did you get that water leak? I said, good night, honey. I said, God. I said, honey, I'll be right back. I'm going to get some answers. God, I need some answers quick. I go into church that night. I come back home. I said, honey, I got good news for you. What is it? What's going on? I said, well, I think we're going to get the RV fixed. Really? Tell me about it. Now, Jack, don't play games with me. Don't play games with me. I said, I'm not playing games with you, baby. I'm like, we're going to get it fixed. Are you going to fix it? Are you going to hire it out to get it fixed? I said, well, God's going to take care of it. We started laughing at each other. And I said, honey, I doubt it. I text you. You know what I did? I told the preacher, I doubt it. You ever doubt? Am I the only sinner here this morning? Come on, talk to me here. All you God-filled Christians here, you never doubt and you never fear and never fret. How are we going to get through it? Hey, I tell you, how are we going to get through it? You're going to get your eyes back on Him. Say, God, I've blown it. I messed up, God. Lord, I didn't trust you. Lord, I want to trust you. I want to trust you. Would you help me, God? I need you. And God said, hey, that's what I've been waiting on. I'm on the way. God doesn't take care of you because of your condition. He takes care of you because of your position. You're a child of God. Hold that head back. Hold that head up high. Hey, you're a child of God. I don't care if you live in a shambles or a shack by the hill, bless God. I like that verse out of Micah 4:9. He said, is there any king in thee? Is there any king in thee? He said, hey, throw that head back. Throw to get that look back. Hey, quit being depressed. Quit. Oh, you got that. Hey, you got a king inside you. 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 Walk around depressed. Looking all grumpy looking. Hey, I don't walk. I don't jump out of bed. It's, where's my coffee? Buster looking at me. Where's my coffee? What happened here? Let me tell you something. I gotta have. I can't do powder. I come to your house. You don't put half and half in my coffee. I ain't drinking. I'll give it to the preacher. Tell them, I come to your house, you eat runny eggs. I ain't eating them either. I want my eggs over medium. I don't want no snot on my eggs. Amen. That's in the Bible somewhere. Brother Jack, what are you saying? I'm saying, what do I do when I don't know what to do? I got to get my eyes off myself. What do you do when you don't know what to do when you don't have a mom and dad not living for God? I wish every one of you kids had a mom and dad would tuck in bed at night. Kiss you on the brow and tell me to cry. My dad told me he loved me twice in his whole life. Man, you got good grandkids. Some of you grandparents need to come alive on your grandkids. Make over them all you can. When that girl's problem was Heidi, she said, my dad never told me that he loved me. I went and asked that sucker that. I said, you know what? I said, Heidi told me something I don't want to ask you. He was a businessman, good Bible teacher, but he was real stoic, real stern. I said, hey, brother so-and-so, can I ask you a question? I said, your daughter made something. I don't believe it, but because I got to ask you. I can't believe something until I check it out. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:13, he that answers the matter for he heareth it, the folly and the shame unto him. She said that you never told her that you loved her. But she knows a little. Ah, really? Gee, Wally. I wonder why she walked out of 18 to find love in the nightlife. And now she's living for God. I come by there, I don't know, years ago, and I come by there, and I called him up, her up, and asked me to come by and preach for him. He was the pastor. He said, Heidi's here with her family. He said, I want to let you know something, that I got right with God. I openly respond to my kids. You taught me something. Man, when I was 9 years old, I cut my knee open. My dad took me down to the shoe fair and bought me a pair of PF Flyers. He said, son, I love you. Last time I heard my dad tell me that he verbally loved me was on his deathbed. The night he died. He said, son, I love you. I said, Dad, I love you too. I said, Dad, why haven't you told me that all my life? Well, how come, Dad? I love to hear you tell me. See, a little boy wants to know that that Dad is proud of him. A little boy likes that. He didn't go on a playground. Hey, I bet you my mom can beat your mom. Maybe some of you can. I don't know. No, it's my dad can beat your dad. I'm telling you. I see some of you saying, "Now you don't know." I do know what I'm talking about. I stood at a funeral the other day, and I saw a grown man cry. This guy was a former prize fighter, probably could have been a Tommy Hearns in his day. And he cried like a baby that his father never loved him. Am I hitting home? Is the word of God hitting home this morning? He said, you taught me something, Pastor. You taught me something, preacher. I wish, by the way, I won't ask him to do it, but I bet you every one of these kids wish they had a saved mom and dad that would love them and accept them unconditionally. Get rid of your conditional love. I'll love you if you do this, and I'll love you if you do this. No. That's not what God gave us at Calvary. God gave us an unconditional love at Calvary. Well, God so loved the world that he gave. God gave you agape love. Love said, I love you, you love me. Hey, you know what God gave you? He gave you agape love. He said, hey, I'll love you in spite of you, and I'll expect nothing in return. That's the love that God gave me and you. Woo! Man, that turns me. Oh, that excites. Almost that turned me on. That turns me on too. That excites me. Hey, that's what God did for you at Calvary. What do you do, preacher, when you don't know what to do? I got to keep my eyes on Him quickly. Look down at verse number 17. Verse 15. And he said, "Hearken, ye Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king of Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord God, be not afraid, and be dismayed. Don't be rattled, don't get shook up." Old song, world has a song. Don't worry, be happy. Don't be dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. Watch it, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. I don't have time to finish this morning. Look at verse 18, the last part of that verse. He said he fell down and he worshiped God. Get back to worshiping God. Let me tell you, look at verse 20. Believe his prophet, so shall you be established. Listen to his prophet, so shall you prosper. Learn to listen to your pastor. Learn to listen to your Sunday school teachers. Learn to listen to the people that God has put over you in the position they put over you in. But look here, and I'm going to close with this. Look at verse 22. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab, and were come against Israel, and they were all smitten. And everyone, look at the latter part of verse 23, and everyone helped to destroy each other. You know what the remedy was? You already have it right here. God says, I want you to start singing. I want you to start shouting. And they're going to think there's millions of other troops out there, just like Gideon. And the Bible says those enemies got so scared, they turned around, and the Bible said the woods killed more than the sword. They ran into the tree, and branches going through their head. It's amazing stuff. God said, I'm just going to take what I give you to beat them. I'm going to use your singing and your shouting to win the victory. You know what you're going to do this morning? Get back to singing. Get back to shouting. Get back to singing. Get back to shouting. Get back. Hey, you come in church. Hey, isn't there something? This is where you found out about eternity here. You come. Hey, I want to be born in the church, but born again in church. I want to live in the church, and I'm going to die in church. This is where I get my oxygen at. This is where I come. Hey, man, I walk out those doors. There's reports. Man, when I come in here, preacher, feed me. Preacher, feed me. Give me something. I told the preacher, I love to hear your people sing. That's a tonic to the soul. That's oxygen on the inside. Oh, man, we go to some churches, they're like a morgue. Only difference between them and the morgue is they're sitting up. It's dead, preacher. It's dead. You got something alive around you. Enjoy what you got. God said, you start singing and you start praising, and enemies in you. Hey, Jessica, go to college. You start singing and you start praising, and let them stinking colleges know you got God on your side. What to do when you don't know what to do? Keep your eyes upon. Realize the battle is not yours. But then he said, stand still. Sometimes when I get in a situation and I don't know what to do, I don't do nothing. But I still read my Bible. I still pray. I still give. I still shout. I still praise. I was in a motel one night by myself and had some burdens on me. I just started singing. There is a fire. I didn't want to sing. I was mad, discouraged, broke, filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinner plunged beneath that blood. Lose all, begging. That volume in a motel room. And it was a Motel 6. They left a light on for me. A little bar of soap about that big. This was the war style. Mine's a hand glove. This was their war style. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And about that time, somebody come banging on my door. What's going on in there? What's going on in there? No, nothing going on in there. I'm praising God. Open the door. I'm going to talk to you. I had the chain on my door. I was scared. 6 foot 9, I'm scared. My wife said, you are one sissy. I go to sleep at night, I got 5 pistols around my bed. She said, hey, where about that? I got the word of God. I open that door. This guy's about right here. And I'm way up here. He said, what's going on in there? And he just kept looking up. What's going on in there? I said, I'm in here praising God. He said, amen, brother. Keep on praising God. Goodbye. What's your problem today? Need a raise at work? Start praising God. Want to get a job transfer? Start praising God. Praise God in the condition that you're in. He'll change it before you go to the next level. Shall we stand? Father, thank you for the Bible today. Father, pray you take home this simple truth. What to do when we don't know what to do. All over this room, young people, both mom and dads. I just wondered today, who said, preacher, I got some decisions I got to make. And God has talked to my heart this morning, all over the room today. So, preacher, here's my hand. Pray for me as a Christian. Thank you. Who said, preacher? I'm here today. If I don't know if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. Brother Jack, I don't know if I'm saved today. Young folks, listen to me. So, Brother Jack, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know Christ. Pray for me that I may know Christ today. Would you do that, preacher? Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. I ain't going to come back and bother you, I promise. I just want to pray for you. I'm talking to people all over from today. You got some burdens today, and you got some things only God can fix. The invitation to you is this. God spoke to your heart today as a Christian. What do you say to you? Come to an old-fashioned altar. You do business with your God. As the pastor comes, Father, pray you'll bless the invitation this morning. Do a work in the heart of your Christian in Christ's name. Brother Pastor.
Take your songbooks and turn to number 160 with me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Number 160. As we sing together, if God's speaking to you, if you need to do business with the Lord, if you need to trust Him as Savior, if you need to make some things right, you come. Kneel here at the altar at one of these front rows and just do business with the Lord. As we sing together on the first verse, number 160. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full. Sing that second verse. If God's speaking to you, you listen to Him. You come. Do what He wants you to do. This is the first service of our revival meeting. This is a good place to start. Right at the beginning, to come and make things right with the Lord. If He's speaking to you, you come while we sing. On that second verse, you come. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him. There, over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the thing His glory and grace. Sing that last verse. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying. His perfect salvation. Said. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me ask the ushers to come and help us, if you would, gentlemen, with the offering this morning. If you filled out a visitor's card, a communication card, if you'll drop that in the offering plate as it goes by, and we invite you to join us as we worship the Lord in our giving today. It's always a privilege and an honor to give, and I want to encourage you to do your very best and do what God wants you to do this morning as we share and as we give back to Him a portion of what He has given to us. Brother Dick Walker, would you come and lead us in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on this offering?
Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for another opportunity to meet in your house and to hear from your man. We thank you for Brother Jack and for his faithfulness to preach the gospel. And we just thank you that you sent him our way. And we ask that we use this time, Lord, to reexamine ourselves and our relationship with you. And part of that relationship is giving. We have been given so much. We are so blessed. Should we ever count our blessings, we'd never run out of them. And we are daily loaded with benefits. We ask your blessing on our offering, Lord. Do you use it for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ that would just literally be used around the world as we support our missionaries. Now we ask your blessings, and again, we're thankful. My, what a great God we have. And help us to be mindful that perhaps today Christ would come and everything we have we would leave behind except what we've done for Christ. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Noemia. Let's stand together for a closing word of prayer. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock. I want you to do your best to be here. Now, you don't have anything better to do than to be right here tonight. Amen. There's not any program on TV that you need to watch that you can't come to church. If it's something you just can't miss, DVR it and come to church. Amen. Or forget about it and come to church. That's probably better. But I want you to be here. Do your best. How many of you know somebody who's not here this morning? You don't know anybody, else in the world besides the ones that are here this morning. All right, I want you to try to get somebody to come with you tonight. Call somebody who's not here and invite them to come and be here. There's some of the flyers. Take them with you and encourage them to be here. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we have 4 nights counting tonight. And let the Lord work in your heart. These are special times when God wants to do something in my life and in your life. But He can't do it if you're not here. Amen. So do your best to be back tonight and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I know some of you have to work. I understand that. And you can't get out of that. Some of you work second shift and those kinds of things. We understand that. But do your best to be here. If you're not working and all possible, just whatever else is going on, set it aside for a few nights and say, Lord, I'm going to put You first. I'm going to let You work in my life. And You come and be here. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads together for closing word of prayer. Brother John, would you come, John Bowers, and lead us in our closing prayer, please, sir?
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time this morning. We thank You for Your man, Brother Jack Patterson, and the words he has expressed to us today from Your book. We ask that You let it touch our lives, Lord, and touch the lives not only of these young people, but of their parents here as well. We thank You so much for the many blessings that You have given us. You have dealt bountifully with us each and every day, and let us always be thankful for that, no matter what comes. Now, take us away, bring us back safely. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Before you go, thank you, Brother John. Before you go, I want, Brother Dick, could you come get one of these offering plates here? And I want to get somebody to go back to the door back there. If we got another one up here. There's one right here, and I don't know where the other ones are. But some of you were not in the Sunday school hour. Vicky's got them back here, Brother Dick. Some of you were not in the Sunday school hour. You didn't get to have a part in the love offering that we received for Brother Patterson. And I want you to have the opportunity to do that. So there'll be somebody at each of the doors with a plate. If you'd like to give something as a love gift to Brother Patterson, you can do that as you leave. God bless you, and you're dismissed.